The following production is brought to you by the Talkin' Buds Leaf Show.
Here we go, Talkin' Buds Leaf Show, episode 274. I just want to say off the top, you know, we had some people reach out to us via DM on Instagram on Friday being like, where's the post-trade deadline episode? Where is it? We're looking for it. And you and I were texting throughout the day and I was like, should we jump on and do an episode? But then I was like, no, it's Friday. Any person who does podcasts will tell you that Friday nights is one of the slower nights for podcast traffic. Also, the Leafs being who they are, there's a million other Leaf podcasts. Like, just search Leafs on your whatever podcast player you use, and there's a ton of them. So I'm like, you know what? Sundays are our day. Let's let everyone else rush to put out content on Friday. If we just do that, we'll get lost in the shuffle. And now we can talk about the deadline acquisitions after seeing them in a game. We can talk about Scott Laughton. We can talk about Brandon Carlo after seeing them in a Leaf jersey. And we have so much Mitch Marner news to jump into today. This Mitch Marner saga, Ryan, is this thing is about to get kicked. Now that we're through the trade deadline and everything that's come out after the fact, this thing is going to kick into overdrive. And this is going to be a non-stop up and down roller coaster for the rest of the season. But we're going to talk about that a little later. Let's jump into Saturday night's 7-4 loss to the Colorado Avalanche and the debut of Brandon Carlo and Scott Laughton. You were pretty stoked about the Brandon Carlo addition. Anyone who listens to the show, I'm sure, thought of you when that deadline came in at the 11th hour on Friday, because you've been sitting here banging your fist on the table for weeks being like, they need to get an impact defenseman, and they went out and got one.
Yeah, let's start with the trades. Let's give our quick reaction here. I absolutely loved that deal. Anyone who's had me banging, I've been banging my fist for weeks saying, go get a defenseman. And you're like, well, who's available? And I'm like, I don't fucking know who's available. And who knew that this guy would be available? So that's a lesson to everybody where, I mean, the trade bait boards and everything have names on it, but sometimes there's a team in the weeds just looking to shed their roster. And who would have thought the Boston Bruins would enter this next stage of we suck, we're getting rid of some players. So when I found out the Leafs got Brandon Carlo, a 6'5" monster, a guy who I've seen play against them for years and be a solid, steady guy.
CC said last night he got the game-winning goal in game one of the playoffs last year.
Yeah, and guess what? Go check the box score last night's game. Who led their team in ice time?
And who's going to lead their team in ice? Who's going to lead their team in ice time for the rest of the season?
And let me just say this. I'll give anyone who, and all the dorks out there who love to just shit on every fucking move that they make and find the worst in every player that they try to acquire, you went out and got a guy who could instantly give you credible minutes and lead your defense. And you bring in a new guy who already leads your team in ice time. Like that's just all I need to say right there. Like just having someone out there, getting rid of a Connor Timmies, having Phil Myers play a little bit less, even having like OEL play a little bit less and have everyone else play a little bit less because you actually have a fucking guy you can trust back there who's a big dude who's going to make the right decision. And I'm absolutely over the moon for this deal. I thought it was a great trade.
I'm fascinated to see how it goes with him and Morgan Rielly, because Morgan Rielly's existence in a Leaf uniform, the narrative around it has always been, we need to find a proper partner for him. And everyone always looks at Luke Shen as like, this was the best version of Morgan Rielly was when Luke Shen was his partner. And Brandon Carlo is a much better version of Luke Shen at this point in his career. But Morgan Rielly's had a really tough year. And right off the bat against Colorado, they get scored on. I saw someone tweet something funny that Morgan Rielly is going to make an absolute mess of Brandon Carlo's plus minus. So those two are going to have to find Chemistry, let me interrupt there.
The way they played last night, everybody's plus minus was getting interrupted because I thought they played like shit. I thought they got dominated for 60 minutes. So I'm gonna cut Brandon Carlo a break on the game last night because everybody sucked.
It was men versus boys. So when they get Chris Tanev back, it slots everybody down a notch, which is good. And when you envision their defense, I keep wondering who that sixth guy is going to be.
Who cares?
I know that they like, because it's going to be Tanev, McCabe, Riley, Carlo, OEL, and Bill Myers, because I know they like the physicality that Simone Benoit brings, but man, oh man, like you put them out there against some of these elite teams, Vegas on Wednesday, Colorado on Saturday. They play Florida for the first of three games against Florida on Thursday. Like the guy's just going to get exposed. And I know Phil Myers is kind of on the same level, but I don't love Simone Benoit out there. And I think that's right now I'm leaning towards Phil Myers getting that spot, but they're going to have to figure this out and they're going to have to do a better job of moving the puck. We're focusing on the decor right now because I thought, you just watch the Colorado Avalanche, the way they break out of their zone, the speed with which they do it, the first pass. And I know you've got Cale Makar, who's an absolute unicorn, but the Leaf defense, they can't make a pass. They can't break out of the zone. It's really, really, really concerning.
It's hard to make a pass and get out of your zone when you're in your zone all night and you're exhausted because your forwards can't fucking get a cycle or a forecheck going or any sort of offensive time. Like, come on.
It's true.
Like, I'm not putting this on the defense corps, man. Their forward group is what looked like they were worlds behind speed-wise to the Colorado Avalanche. The speed in which the Colorado forwards were attacking and just handling the puck in the offensive zone, the Leafs offense couldn't do that. They were one and done all night. Yeah, I will give them credit. They did capitalize on their opportunities, which is why it was a great game. But they got to have more time in the O-zone and give their defense a break, for God's sakes.
Well, and they... The Colorado Avalanche, every player on their team looks like they're moving a million miles an hour. And it did. It looked like the Avalanche were playing a different game than the Leafs were. It was very, very eye-opening to watch. Well, so you brought up the forwards. Let's talk about the addition of Scott Laughton. I felt bad for him last night, man. Like he had a tough night. You texted me before the game. You said, I wish they had a bit more of a layup tonight to ease these guys in. Like that's the Colorado Avalanche are absolutely fucking loaded and became even more loaded after the deadline. And they have to be, like, if you look at the West, the two favorites, I think, now to come out of the West and represent the Western Conference and the Stanley Cup is the Colorado Avalanche and the Dallas Stars. And this is the NHL. This is teeing up for an unbelievable storyline in the playoffs. If Dallas meets Colorado in a playoff series and you got the whole Rantanen storyline and that's going to be unbelievable theater for the league. But
yeah,
I came away last night looking at the bottom six and being like, they got some work to do here. Berube's got to figure this out because Laughton obviously slots in as your third line center and that's where he's going to stay. And I think he fits there. But again, I'm watching Max Domi last night. I don't know what the fuck this guy is doing. He goes out there and he skates around. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't have a defined role. Like, if I look at him, if the third line is going to be Laughton between McMahon and Domi, Max Domi needs to be hard on the forecheck. He needs to win puck battles. He needs to help set up Bobby McMahon to score. He needs to shoot way more. And he's just not doing any of that stuff. And then you bring it down to the fourth line. You've got Nick Robertson on the fourth line. Craig Simpson said last night, you know, it's important for Nick Robertson to prove to Craig Berube that he can play in this fourth line role because that'll help him stay in the lineup every night. A lot of people before the game started were upset that he didn't start the game on the wing with Tavares and Nylander and they put Pontus Holmberg down there. Again, they're going to have to shuffle this around because Pontus Holmberg came out after the Four Nations break, like a house on fire and has since gone back to being Pontus Holmberg. And now you have Nick Robertson who he's not going to excel in a fourth line role. And I understand Berube's reluctance to elevate him because the guy is fucking tiny. Like he's tiny. You see him out there against the trees, the absolute massive trees that are the Vegas Golden Knight defense.
Yeah.
Like the guy can't do anything. I almost would consider giving Max Domi a look on the second line with Tavares and Nylander. I know I just criticized Robertson for being too small and Domi's not much bigger, but at least Max Domi, the best he's looked in his career is when he's played with elite guys. Give him a look up there, move Robertson up to that third line and put Holmberg down on the fourth line and just give that a look. And if Domi, it still stinks, then I don't know what the hell you do with him, because I'm just watching this last night and I'm like, this is a mess. This bottom six is a mess. I have no idea how he's going to fix this.
Well, there's only so much you can do with what you have. You know, you can keep shuffling players around and just pray that something works. But I think the most concerning thing for me is I'm not sweating the sixth defenseman. I'm not sweating the way the third line looks. I'm sweating and how they get brutally outshot almost every other night in this whole Craig Berube system that they're supposed to play. The top guys and the bottom six are just not playing that way at all.
Can we dispel this narrative that, oh, they've been way better defensively? This team is awful defensively.
Look what happened last night when their goaltender just couldn't get them the saves at the end of the night.
Exactly. They haven't been like, oh, you know, Berube's got them playing a way better defensive game. They haven't looked good in their own end since November.
Since December.
Yeah. Like they are a fucking fire drill in their own end. There's no breakouts. There's no first pass. There's no like transition. There's nothing. What they do is they hope for a turnover in the neutral zone, take it into the O zone, our one and done scoring chance, and it's back the other way. So I'm done with this overarching sort of sweeping generalization that people are saying where it's, well, you know, they're much better defensively. This team is terrible. Defensively terrible.
Yeah, I'm honestly confused at this point too. It's like, what is it? Is it the line combinations? Is it the coach just can't get them to play that system? Is it the top guys not buying in, so in turn no one's buying in? Like I find it very confusing at this point. I can't really narrow it down to what exactly it is, but I'm just seeing the same old Leaf style of play, just with better goaltending and a little bit better of a defense. Like I'm not really seeing a massive difference in their game right now. Like I don't know. They're one and done offensively. They can't get any pressure. They're having a hard time getting the puck out of their own end because they're in their own end all night. And now they finally have the goaltending to bail them out of bad situations. But these past couple of games, their goaltending hasn't really been exactly what it's been all season long. Which isn't fair, because I mean, Anthony Stolarz is not Connor Hellebuck. I don't think he's a 930 Vezina candidate here. Like if you're getting 915 save and a 2.5 goals against, that's more than enough to win if you're a great team in this league. But I don't know. I'm really confused on what is like preventing them from playing this style that we were sold. I don't know. I'm not seeing it at all.
I think it's a whole bunch of things. I think it's definitely personnel. And I know you mentioned earlier, like, I don't want to blame the defense. And you're right. It's not entirely the defense's fault. But at the end of the day, they don't move the puck quickly out of their own end. And this is where I keep coming back to having my finger pointed at Morgan Rielly. It's like, this is what you're supposed to fucking be doing, man. And he just hasn't been good at it all year. He hasn't been good at it all year. And hopefully Carlo as his partner can stabilize him. But you need to be way better at getting the puck on your stick and getting a good first pass or breaking out of the zone or whatever. It doesn't happen. The forwards, sometimes they're committed. Austin Matthews has caught a lot of strays and a lot of people saying, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? The guy is back in his zone and he's the best two-way defensive center that they have. Full stop. Scott Laughton, again, I don't think we brought Scott Laughton in for his offense. So hopefully he can help stabilize in the D zone, but there doesn't appear to be any structure. You watch these other elite teams and watch Florida on Thursday night, just 1-2 and they're out. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. We're back to this kind of, I feel like a lot of this is the DNA, and this is going to set up nicely for the Marner conversation we're going to have later. But I think, you know, this team was built. Yes, Brad Treliving has come in and he's made changes. But at the end of the day, the DNA of this team is the core four, which is Kyle Dubas, Sheldon Keefe philosophy. And we're kind of back to, we're going to attempt a little flick pass. We want to dominate possession. We don't want to lose possession. So we're going to try some little pass to keep it. Like, so we come over our blue line. We're going to try some little backhand pass through two guys that's too fancy. And more often than not, gets broken up and turned back the other way instead of just, earlier, we had the Craig Berube north-south. Where the hell is that gone? Where's that gone?
It's been gone for months. They're back to just capitalizing. Don't get me wrong. This team is unbelievable at capitalizing on opportunities and putting the puck in the net. There's a reason why they're one of the best teams in the league. But you watched them play against Colorado last night. And I do think if the Leafs played, we always make the joke about if the Leafs played anybody in a playoff series, would they win? I actually think they stack up well against Colorado because Colorado is not a heavy team at all. They're actually kind of similar to the Leafs, just with kind of better talent, I would say.
Yes.
And last night just showed me that if they're playing, there's other teams in this league that are more talented than they are and are faster than they are. They could not skate with that team last night. What's concerning me is just they're back to just relying on like capital. Like, they just don't set a tone. Like, you know, there's no tone setting. There's no like, here's our first couple shifts. We're going to dictate the pace. This is how we're going to play. And like it or not, whatever. Like that's what Florida does. That's what all the top team, heavy teams do. Vegas. And they're just not doing that.
There was a game that they played in November, and it was a Monday night game on Prime, and it was against the Tampa Bay Lightning, who it looks like they're going to play again in the first round. And that was a game where right off the face-off, they established a tone and they dominated Tampa all night long. And they played, they were hard on the forecheck, they were structured in their own end. That is not what this team has been for a long time now. A long time.
Yeah.
And this comes back to the whole can a leopard change its spots argument. At the end of the day, this team is built a certain way with a lot of the money going to four guys, and that's how they're going to play. That's how this team is conditioned to play. And so, again, I really like Brandon Carlo. I think he's going to make a huge difference in terms of how he plays. You see his long stick on the PK last night and just his ability to break up plays and break up passes. That's going to be huge help. Him and Chris Tanev are two. Like, Kyle Dubas never even came close to adding defensemen the likes of Chris Tanev and Brandon Carlo, right? So you got to tip your hat to Tree for that. But, yeah, I think Craig Berube's got to crack the whip here, and he's got to get these guys to buy into playing a more defensive system because, listen, like I said earlier, it looks like they're going to play Tampa in the first round, and they've played well against Tampa, but that's no cupcake, and you're going to have to get your shit together because Tampa's rocking, and they loaded up to try and go on a cup run here too. This was literally an arms race in the Atlantic Division. A lot of the reason why people were freaking out was because you're like, look at the other teams in your division. My heart sank when I read that Brad Marchand being traded to the Florida Panthers. Heart sank. And it was only because the Carlo deal broke 5 minutes later that I was like, okay, attaboy Tree. And then you saw the whole Yanni Gourde addition with the Lightning. Like, all these teams are trying to win and they're trying to load up. And if you don't play the way that you need to play, you can't always rely on your goalies being all world every single night in order to win hockey games. Yeah. And that's what I feel like they're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially defensively.
Yeah. Yeah. Last night was a perfect example. If Stolarz just played the way he's been playing all year and finally got them the saves, but you're not going to get that every night and you're going to get exposed if you don't.
This NHL season has been as predictable as a puck rolling on its edge. No one knows where it's going, but that just means there's time for your favorite team to figure things out. And games left for you to get in the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL.
It's super easy for first-timers to get started. Try betting on something simple like picking a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
All right, let's transition into this Mitch Marner storyline here, Ryan. So let's just do a quick recap of this. So it came out, Nick Kyprios broke after the deadline on Friday that the Leafs had reached out to the Carolina Hurricanes about acquiring Mikko Rantanen, and they had offered Easton Cowan, Fraser Minton, and two first rounders, which the Hurricanes declined. Then yesterday, Elliot Friedman reported that the Hurricanes inquired about, I guess, a one-for-one swap, Rantanen for Mitch Marner, two guys on expiring deals. I think the Leafs weren't going to make it without, at least the first one, it was reported that the Leafs weren't going to make that trade without assurances that Rantanen was going to sign with them. So this just opens up a whole hornet's nest of Mitch Marner discussion, because he said at the beginning of the year, I'm not going to talk about my contract status. And for the most part, up until now, it's been pretty quiet. Like, obviously, this is a narrative and people are discussing it, but it hasn't been like front burner news with respect to the Leafs for a long time. They went to Mitch Marner and asked if he would waive his no move to go to Carolina. And he said no. So, because he has the no trade. The fact that they went to Mitch Marner and even inquired is absolutely blows my mind, because it just tells you that they have no idea what this guy is going to do when the season ends. It's been reported that he and his agent, Darren Ferris, are basically saying, we're going to free agency and that's what we're going to do. We're going to test the market and see what's out there. He very clearly wants to be paid $14 million. Something around those lines. He's asking for a ton of money. I think this is my take on the situation. And let me know if you agree or disagree. There's a lot of people freaking out about this. Either way, it's like, well, why would they go to Mitch? Mitch is a focal point of the team. He's a core piece. He's been their best player this year. And then other people on the other side being like, this guy is such an asshole. He's gonna decline a trade and inhibit their ability to move him. But he might walk at the end of the year. Listen, let's just put our rational hats on as Leaf fans here, okay? If this team flames out in the playoffs, and if Mitch Marner plays the way he's played in previous years, bye. Like, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm not paying you $14 million if you're not going to be an impact piece in the playoffs. And I think he and his camp are overestimating that a little bit. It's like, buddy, the amount of money you're asking for only makes sense if you're an elite playoff performer. I'm not giving you this money if you're going to go out and play the way you've played in previous years. So I think we as a fan base, just relax. If they flame out, they need to change up the core anyway, and he's going to walk out the door and give them the ability to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I maybe I'm just out to lunch on this whole thing, but I just don't think it's a massive deal that they went and asked him to waive, if he would waive his no trade. Like, what if you're negotiating with a guy, it's almost like the Hurricanes did you a favor by just like making you go do something that you wouldn't have done, you know? Like, maybe just go and be like, "Well, would you move it?" Like, and he's like, no, I wouldn't. So that tells you the answer right there, that he wouldn't have moved it. So to me, it's like, whatever. If you're in a negotiation like this and you want all this money, and I don't know what the details are, but from the outside, it looks like it's a bit of a fucking disaster. I think Leaf fans need to evaluate what the expectation and what they want for this team going forward. Okay, because if Mitch Marner walks, this team is worse. I think Mitch Marner has been their best player this year. I think he's one of the best players in the NHL. I think he's a super talented guy. If he walks, this team is instantly worse. But on the other side, how long can we fucking watch this? Like, how long can we just, like, unless you just want to be competitive, if you're cool with being competitive every year and just happy to get to the dance just to fall short, then sign him for $14 million. By all means, go ahead, do it. Because if you do that, then I think, as long as he's here, as long as Matthew's here, as long as Nylander's here, they will continue to be in that playoff position and go in and just have the opportunity to be in the dance every single year. But if they flame out again, and here we are on this podcast for our seventh fucking season talking about the same back passes going into the zone, talking about not getting the puck out of their own fucking end, then if you're
talking about one and done offense.
Yeah. So if you really want this team to actually have an opportunity, then you have to completely change your mindset and go, maybe they have to make an extremely tough decision and it might may work out and may not. Life's about taking risks sometimes. Maybe they just got to look at it differently and be like, you know what, this guy's going to walk. I respect how the Colorado Avalanche were like, we are not paying this guy a certain amount of money. Goodbye. Yep. See you later.
Like, I did it with Stamkos too.
I think at the end of the year, if they get dusted in the first round or whatever, or if they go into the second round, get absolutely embarrassed again, it's the same old outcome. Then the fan base is going to be divided, and there's going to be people kind of on our side, I feel like, where it's like, you know what? Sometimes you got to make a tough decision to change something up and look forward. But if you just love having a great, elite, talented player who's going to give you 90 to 100 points every regular season and get you to the first round, then give him $14 million. It's a really tough, it's an extremely tough thing for the fan base, an extremely tough thing for management. It's a very tough decision. But if him and his agent are being a dick, like you have to have a limit at this at some point. Like, I know the cap's going up exponentially, but like, come on, you're not paying a guy who isn't even at like a Nate McKinnon. Like, comparing him to like a Nate McKinnon or like a McDavid or a Drysdale is a fucking joke. I know he's like a really great player, but comparing him, putting him in that level is a joke. So you cannot afford. And here we are. A couple minutes ago, you were talking about the bottom six. Max Domi this, Max Domi that. If you continue to just bend the knee to these guys who yep. just completely hamstring your team every single year, then like what the fuck do you expect? Like, I don't know.
Ryan, I actually think he and Darren Ferris, if they walk out the door, are actually doing the Leafs a favor here. I've ranted a lot on this show over the years about how chicken shit MLSE is and how they are. I believe that MLSE ownership wants to keep these guys in place because they like the consistency and the certainty of at least getting the first round playoff gates every single year. I believe that in my heart. Okay. If he walks out the door chasing some massive contract, I think all of this should be said with the pretext that, yes, if he goes out and is a legend in the playoffs, then I think it does change the discussion a little bit. I think asking for 14 plus million is still outrageous, but I do think it gives him more leverage. But if he doesn't, this team is too chicken shit to move on from him anyway. So you're doing them a favor. You're walking out the door and you're opening up a shitload of cap space and the ability to really, really change the DNA of your team, which is what will need to happen if they flame out again. Period. End of discussion. Yeah. End of discussion. So
absolutely.
I don't understand the panic and the freak out here. I really don't. Like, you're being a greedy asshole. Your body of work does not, like,
Rob, he's never gotten 100 points in the league.
Exactly.
Like,
I know
he's an amazing player and he's just like, he's an offensive dynamo and he sets up guys. And I've been on an all year saying that if he shot the puck more, I think he'd be a 40 goal scorer. But this guy has never gotten over 100 points in his career. Like, that.
Exactly.
There's levels to this and he's not on that top level. He's really not. I know he's a great player, but he's not on that level. He's not.
Exactly. And his camp is probably arguing. It's so funny how he and Matthews are such besties. It's like Austin Matthews is the reason why this is so tense. It's because him and his camp, his agent, his family, whatever, are butthurt that the organization has elevated Matthews, made him the captain, paid him more money. And they're going, hey, wait a minute. We're just as good as that guy. And in the context of this season,
yeah, this is a problem.
You can make that argument. You can say this year, factually, Mitch Marner has been better than Austin Matthews. There are extenuating circumstances. Matthews is hurt, all that stuff. I get it. But at the end of the day, that's what's fueling this here. And this is why they're behaving badly, because they're angry about the comparison with Matthews and the Leafs choosing Matthews over him and all these different scenarios. And so the PR of his camp is terrible. It's always been terrible. I urge any of you, go on YouTube and watch his post game last night. He's so combative. He's so angry. He's terrible at the PR game. Terrible. His camp is terrible. This is why people, there's this notion that people don't like Mitch Marner because of the way he's played in the playoffs. And I'm not saying that's not true. I'm saying it's partially true. Mitch Marner rubs people the wrong way with how he conducts himself in situations like this. That is what makes Mitch Marner unlikable. Because, yes, you can look at him and go, you have not been an impact player in the playoffs. Neither is Auston Matthews.
Well, yeah, this is the whole problem with this whole situation. It's just Auston Matthews also is not, in my opinion, playing up to the standard that, like, I don't think he's at that level that I'm talking about either. So this is the whole mess of this whole thing, because if you analyze this season and seasons past, like, Mitch Marner has played just as well as Auston Matthews and has produced just as much as Auston Matthews. Auston Matthews has never shown up in the playoffs. All the criticism you can throw at Mitch Marner, you can throw at Auston Matthews.
Yeah,
sure. And that's why, like, if you like Marner's camp, as annoying as they are, like, they do have a valid point. I can't say that point isn't valid. It's totally valid, but it's just Auston Matthews was just the first overall pick. He came in here. He's one of the most overhyped players of all time. People were anointing him as the second best player in the league for years. He's just a big centerman who can score goals. And just on paper, he was just given that, I don't know the right word. He was just, like, elevated in everybody's eyes. And Mitch Marner has played just as well throughout his NHL career as Auston Matthews. They both have not produced in the playoffs. They both are really talented dudes. So it's a tough balance between, like, I think that they're both extremely overpaid, but also if you're Mitch Marner's agent, like, I don't blame him for playing this card and playing.
Why do you think the perception of Mitch Marner is that he is taking this team for every last dollar he can get his hands on, but that same perception is not levied at Auston Matthews?
Well, that's, I think Auston Matthews took this team for every dollar. Like, I'm not one of those people. I think Auston Matthews is one of the biggest issues of this team, to be honest with you. He's their best player, but he's also taken this team for every dollar, and he doesn't produce at the level he should for the dollar amount he is making. But
this year. Last year he got 60. You can't say that last year. He got 69 goals.
Who cares about the regular season with this team? Like, I know 70 goals. It hasn't been done. It was an amazing chase. But guess what? He's got 22 now, and he's fucking... he's not doing anything. So it's just, I don't know. It's this team, just like when they decided to just sign all these dudes all these years ago, Kyle Dubas, that whole regime, they really just set this team up for a lot of hardship going forward with the prices that they set. And they're battling against themselves. As long as they have to keep retaining these guys and re-signing these guys, they're just battling against themselves. Like, it just, that's the price they've set. And if you're the player, if you're the agent, you're not going backwards. You're not feeling bad for the team. It's like, no, you guys figure it out. But for fans, it's really irritating because you see how hamstrung they are. And when they need a big performance, they don't do it. Like, McDavid and Draisaitl are the perfect guys to reference in this thing, because you talked about the Stars and Avalanche being the top teams in the West. Don't forget about that team. Those are two guys who've gotten paid. But guess what? When it's time to show up and get it done, guess who shows up and gets it done? Like, they do. And it's just like, these guys just don't do that. I have a hard time getting the right words out, wrapping my head around it. I don't envy anyone in the organization. It's a really tough position they've put themselves in, and they're going to have to make an extremely difficult choice one way or the other.
I just keep coming back to the facts. Listen, at the end of the day, this has been 8 years of this, okay? 8 years of playoff disappointments, 8 years of no showing when it matters the most, all right? This isn't like, this is Mitch Marner's third year in the league and he's like, oh, I might leave, and everyone's freaking out, okay? We've seen it. If they fall apart in the playoffs again, it's over. And if he wants to walk out the door, let him walk out the door. It's cut and dry. It's really cut and dry.
Yeah.
You can argue, like, oh, well, he's more valuable. They should let Matthews or Nylander. Matthews and Nylander are signed. They're not going anywhere. Yeah. So get your head around it. They're here. Marner might not be. I think Tavares wants to be. There's a whole other conversation around what they should sign him for, so on and so forth. But it's like, this group has proven one thing you can take to the bank. Is if you're going into a game 7 in a playoff series, none of these guys are going to elevate.
You can take
that to the fucking bank. Okay. Yes. Marner played really well in the Four Nations final. Yes. This year is a new year, and you can rewrite your legacy this year 100%. And I hope they do. As Leaf fans, we all hope they do. But if you're just going on their body of work, they don't.
Just imagine going to a court of law and just like the amount of evidence that is put forth. Like the evidence is just like astronomical in terms of just like these guys just, they can't. And there's so much body of work to prove that they can't do it.
If Mitch Marner and Darren Ferris sat down across the table from me and were like, you know, we're really thinking about testing free agency, I'd be like, well, guess what? If you stink in the playoffs again, there's a fucking door. I don't even want to talk to you until I see what you do in the playoffs. And if you stink in the playoffs, bye. Like,
yeah,
it's that simple.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
it's that simple.
Yeah. It's not easy. And then you're going to have, and then the fan base could be split right down the middle. There's going to be the people like us who are like, sorry, I've seen enough. Well, goodbye. And then there's the people who just absolutely love, as you call them, Pokemon collectors, just love having the best, most skilled players. As long as you have the best skilled players, you have a chance to win. But it's just like, come on, like what's the goal here? We talked about it in the last episode going into the deadline. Like what's the real expectation for this team? Like what is it really? And at the end of the day, they can't beat Florida, and there's a couple other teams in this league that I don't think they can beat. So what are we doing? Like, what are we trying to get to the first round every year? Like, what are we doing? Like, let's make a decision on what the team philosophy is. Let's either come out and say, you know what, we're just cool with getting the first round gate and just going to the first round, getting everyone excited and just letting everybody down. Or is the expectation, no, we actually want to end this disgustingly awful cup drought and just do what we have to do to get there. It's a tough decision.
100%, man. And listen, there are a ton of fans, like it or not, who they cheer for the name on the back. They don't cheer for the crest on the front. I said this last week that like, it's true. There are people who, I genuinely believe this. There are people who cheer for this team that don't care about championships, playoff success, anything. They're just happy with watching their favorite guys every night, win or lose. I sure love Mitch. Like that's it. So. Yep. It is what it is. And you're right. The fan base is going to be divided. But at the end of the day, this is a results-oriented business. You're paid. Like, for you to sit down and go, I want 14 plus million. And again, no numbers have been thrown around out here, but like, he wants more money than Austin Matthews. So let's just call it 14. Mm. For you to sit down and go, I want 14 million with your fucking body of work when it matters most is, I would laugh you out of my office.
Yeah.
Laugh you out of my office. And if you want to go fleece some team, why don't you pick up the phone and call Pittsburgh? There's a guy down there who loves acquiescing to your every ask. Pick up the fucking phone and call him, buddy.
That's the perfect fit for him. I'm sure he'll give
you whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was about to say, what if you go down the list of teams that would actually pay that? Like, it's extremely tiny, and I'm sure none of them were destinations that are sought after.
There's one guy in Pennsylvania who's just itching to give you everything you want. So pick up the phone and call him. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Yeah.
Now, on the other side of this, if he goes out and plays really, really well and is a difference maker and they win a series and you look back on the series and go, this is why I hate this fucking argument of like, you know, Mitch has the hammer. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. If he goes out and he plays really well in the playoffs, then he has the hammer. He can sit down and go, you paid this guy 13.25 and you made him your captain and I was the difference maker for you in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Sure. Let's have that conversation. But if you're going to go out and get pushed off the puck and not be able to do anything because it's playoff hockey and there's no time or space, fucking see you later. Like,
yeah.
But
I think about the deadline too, I think it's a great like microcosm of everything that's wrong with this team. It's like they go out, they get a nice third line centerpiece. Okay. What everyone wanted. They go out and they get a guy who's going to eat a shitload of minutes on the back end and just be a great guy who could just eat that minutes and push guys lower down the lineup. But at the end of the day, who is coming into this team to like really change the philosophy and get them over the hump? Nobody. Yes. I don't care if you went out and got all the best players on the market. I still don't think they'd come in here and make a change. This team's problem is the same problem it's always has been, and it will always be the same problem. And if they ever want to fix it, then they really have to think about making a hard decision.
100%. And I don't think that this is the last we'll be talking about this. We're going to be talking about this for the rest of the year. The ranting in what if is interesting because I think if, let's just say they did that and they did a one-for-one swap, then you are legitimately changing the DNA. Like the DNA of this league
I would have been so down
four guys. Yes.
I would have been so down for that. Again, it's a tough decision because he's a great player. He was on the Four Nations roster. He's one of the best players in the league. I totally get that. But you would have been trading for a guy who is fourth in NHL scoring over the past couple seasons. You know, like, I think that would have been the perfect deal where it's like you move this guy out, you bring a guy in who's on paper better than he is. And I think that would have helped change the DNA and maybe give a new look. But,
and I just want to caveat this too. Like, the people who are upset being like, oh, he screwed us over by not accepting the Rantanen deal and then it's going to walk. We don't know that Mikko Rantanen wanted to sign here. The dude went to Carolina and had a complete fucking meltdown.
Rantanen, I would not want to sign here because your career could go down the tubes. Like, you could be in the same situation. Like, I don't blame guys for this market's not for everybody.
And he'll have that with him for the rest of his career here. We traded Mitch Marner for you. And it's like, he doesn't, like, the dude went, this situation with him is insane. Like, the dude was clearly caught off guard by being moved by the Avalanche. He went to Carolina, had a complete meltdown, did not want to be there. Like, was like, I don't want to be here, which is pretty surprising because Carolina is a good team. They're a contender in the East. A lot of people, like, you hear the guys on Spit and Chicklets say from time to time that guys love playing in Raleigh. So it's like, but for whatever reason, he just didn't want to be there. And now he's off to Dallas. And so there's no guarantee that trade was just going to be hunky-dory and Rantanen was going to come here and sign an 8-year extension. Like, there's no guarantee that was going to happen. Also, Mikko Rantanen was looking for massive money. So it's like, this guy who hasn't played a shift here, you're going to bring him in and sign him to 12, 13 million bucks?
That's what always kills me about these, like, sign and trades in any sport. It's like, I get that Mikko Rantanen's like an amazing player, but to me, the idea of just bringing a guy in and just giving him like an 8-year, $12 million contract without you ever seeing him play a shift in your organization is just wild to me.
100%. It's so wild.
Yeah.
All right. Like I said, we got lots to talk about this as we go on here. I think now that we're headed into the home stretch, we're going to try and pump out 2 episodes a week. You can, unless they're playing on Sunday, you can take to the bank that the Talkin' Buds Leafs show will be here on Sunday. Sunday is our day. We love Sunday. But looking at the schedule this week, Ryan, I see a very big game on Thursday against a team that you and I talk about a lot on this podcast. So I'm thinking you and I do a quick little post game after that and just give our take on the Leafs and the Florida Panthers. What do you say we do that on Thursday?
Absolutely. You know, I love when the Leafs play a meaningful divisional game. That's when my juices get flowing.
So if you want to join us for that, hit the like and subscribe button below. Like I said, we'll also be here every Sunday, barring the Leafs playing on a Sunday. And we're headed towards the playoffs, which means post-game shows. So if you want to join us for the rest of the way, hit the like and subscribe button below. If you're listening to the audio version, please do the same.
Spread the word. Tell your friends.
We really appreciate it. We will see you guys on Thursday after the Florida Panther game.